mean, tell this some homework.
Man, the Truly Off the Chain. It's a fucking classic. It's LB and my cousin's Green Chronicles, which I didn't even know until recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah. More serendipity going on here.
Yeah, so that tune, so I thought, when I heard that tune, I thought, am I confused that? What I'm getting from this song, if I confuse that with my hip-hop beats, then I'm going to create my own genre, sublo. So I get the rave bass line with the hip-hop beats. That's how sublo comes. Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official .com.
Street Culture TV.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, or as central as you need to be. You don't need to be anywhere else. I'll tell you, 500 and a half podcast time. Nearly 1,000 videos on this piece as well. Oh, throwing them out. House sponsors the mighty GK Nifty Heads of a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gknifty.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024. To some of you that aren't in the know, this may be just me throwing out a whole heap of words. But to the trained, this is a gentleman that's left an indelible mark on the UK music scene and the street art scene as a whole, from Rich No Limits moving on into Sublo with the Black Ops, pre-grime and dubstep. He was the soundtrack. Moving into hip-hop, dance. Freedom is the new record label, and we're here to talk about his life and times and more. He goes by the name of Johnny Cash.
Oi, oi. Bless my G. Glad to be back.
It's the second time, isn't it?
It's been a while, man. Last time I came here, I had a back injury.
You did have a back injury.
I was taking painkillers like sweets, man, during that interview.
Yeah, big shout out to Insane as well.
Yeah, big up.
That's funny you say that, because it did cross my mind as you were coming. I thought, damn, what if he's got bad back still? Shit.
No, I'm all right now. God, for God blessing, but yeah.
You are very much in about your health, aren't you? You've got to be now, man.
Yeah, definitely at my age, boy, definitely. I mean, I was out for 2 years that time, just for being doing lots of studio work, leaning forward, sitting with the wrong posture, nearly took me out of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had to do a full operation. And I was avoiding the operation, because if I do an operation, it's 50-50, I walk again.
Wow.
So I was avoiding it, and then the pain got so bad. I mean, they gave me some steroid injection. When the steroid wore off, what happened, they took their steroid injection and they said, move around, become agile, why you can't feel the pain. So I was doing that. But what it was, sometimes it can go good for you, sometimes it's bad, because you're doing stuff with your back shouldn't be doing. And your back's in mad pain, but it's been disguised. When the injection wore off, I was crippled, man. I couldn't move nothing.
Was this like only created, that impact, was that created just by sitting down?
Yeah, because I'm in the studio, I'm always leaning forward. So my back, where your back supposed to arch inwards, my back arched outwards.
Whoa.
So, and then it all happened at Royal Oak. I jumped over a wall at Royal Oak, landed funny, and that triggered it. And I couldn't align my back again. That started it, and then one thing led to another. Then I was lying down. Then I was like, over COVID, I was just stuck in a wooden door, lying down, flat, couldn't walk nowhere. And then pain got so bad, I had to just do the operation just to get rid of the pain.
Yeah.
And then I'll deal with the situation after that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for God willing, it all come out good. So now I live life to the fullest.
Yeah.
No stopping.
Yeah, you seem in much more higher spirits.
Yeah, man, it's all good, man. I love when the sun's out today, so it's all good, man.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. West is best. You one of the originators. Like, don't care what no one says. The buck stops with my gentleman here.
I always say that, boy, buy one house in West, you buy two houses south. I always said that way back in the day. You know what I mean? But yeah, from West. But yeah, London's London now. London's all kind of... I say London's all one zone now.
It's all interconnected. It is all one zone,
isn't it?
We like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well just go right back to the early beginnings. I mean, we've talked about this before if you want to check the other podcast, but to be quite honest, this is a more in-depth one, isn't it? Tell me about that early era of hip-hop in the UK.
Oh, early. What do I remember? I remember as a youth, my first thing I remember, Let me go back to my first.
Go back to those recesses. The first thing that hit you that you remember.
There's obviously times before then, but when I go back to like my childhood memory, I remember that what's that song? What's his name?
Buffalo Girls.
That's it.
Ooh.
I remember seeing that video. I remember seeing that, and I remember listening to the radio and recording non-stop radio, like pirate radio stations. But that's my memory. When I think of old school, when I think of when I was a kid, I remember buying Lino, taping it together, breakdancing, trying to breakdance. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Girls going running outside. That's my first. I get a flashback. When I think of old school, that comes into my head, that video, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then it all springs off from there. But yeah, back in the days, man, I'm lucky to be one of the first generations to experience hip-hop.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of kids are born in the 90s and...
It's a given, isn't it? It's just a given.
So I saw it from the get-go. Yeah. From the get-go, what it was and what it became. And I remember saying before, oh, man, I wish hip-hop would become a daily thing where it got played on the radio daily and become like, you know, because if it got played on the radio daily, it would become universal to the world. And look at the stage now. Now we are.
That's crazy that you actually had that...
Yeah.
That wish.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, because radio hip-hop back in the day was like, you hear on segments, you might get the odd radio station here. They listen to all the, you know, WBLS, Marley Moore and all that.
Yeah.
I get radio tapes sent to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Or from the States? Well,
I've got, listen, I've got a box. I've got a box at home, no lying. A massive box of New York radio tapes.
What?
In the 80s.
What?
Thinking, what can I do? How can I make money out of this?
Yeah.
I've got a whole box of all WBLS, all of them, you know what I mean? All the old DJs have got a massive box full of tapes. Tried to get tapes sent to me.
Who sent them?
I've got a couple of friends in America. Wow. And then there was some people over here that are older than me. They were sourcing tapes from America. And then I got lucky where they gave me them. You know what I mean? And I never give them back. So I've got tons of them. Mm. So that was like early 80s. I remember hip hop. Then I remember Mike Allen?
Yeah, Mike Allen, yeah.
Right. I remember being in my grand's house on a Friday or Saturday night listening to Mike Allen on Capital Radio, you know.
That's right. The OG.
Capital Radio.
Yeah.
Mike Allen was a bad boy. That was a bad boy.
I hear stories.
No, I've got tape still of Mike Allen.
Have you?
Yeah. I'm a hoarder. I hold stuff. I am a hoarder.
Really? Okay, so self-confessed.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder. I got stuff.
Tell me some of the... Okay, hold there. Tell me some of the most unique stuff that you've got outside the tapes. What other things? Because this is a very B-boy thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you guys had a movie out, it'd be called Hoard of the Things. You guys hoard shit.
No, yeah. No, one thing I do regret not holding is my goose jacket.
Yeah.
When I went to the States in 88. Imagine, I'm only 14, going to New York in 88.
Yo.
All right. And it was me, State of Art...
Ooh, nice.
Mass. Yeah. Old school writers, Mass. Me, State of Art, Rage. And two other friends, but... Mm. And Foam was there, Foam.
Really?
Let me give you a joke about Foam.
Yo.
Listen to this one. So imagine we're in New York. I'm 14 years old in New York.
New York ain't ready for you lot.
That's when I first saw Alpo, the original Alpo. They were Alpo, they talk about the internet. I originally saw them man there with the German hermits on the bikes. I got all that memories in my head.
Wow.
I saw all that. Yeah?
Wow.
I'm gonna give you a state of mind how New York was. I got off the train, the shuttle from the JFK, And I was dressed like because it's my first holiday. First time I ever going on vacation on a plane. So Mum made me dressed up kind of English nice, Like I was going to church. I don't know why I was dressed that way, but I've still got the pictures.
Okay.
Right, so we got off the train, the JFK, got the shuttle. And I remember me, State of Art, Rage, and my friend Kenley, and my other friend Darren.
Foam.
This is what I'm going to tell you. Okay. Foam went separately. Yeah?
Okay.
Right? So I'm going to give you the whole how God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
So this is my first impression of New York. On the JFK shuttle, got off the train, and no word of no lie, there was a kid younger than me. Right? I'm 14. He's younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a money. Like, I mean, I never see so much money in my life. Because when you're a kid, you don't see money stacked.
You don't see it like that.
No, you might have it at the bank.
You're not even taught that.
You don't even see it. I said, kid, what a wad of money.
Yeah.
And I remember the kid saying to me, man, you're going to get robbed, nigga. I looked at money, I said, yo, shit, I'm changing my clothes, man. Yeah. I said, buddy, I said, stay up. He said, buddy is state of art. I said, Tim, listen, I'm going to the shop right now.
Yeah.
I bought my B-boy hat, a cap, switched my clothes. That was my first impression. The first person to come up to me said, you're going to get robbed, nigga. Little kid. He had a wad of money in his hand. We had a suitcase and he just come up to me and I thought, that's how New York is.
That's New York's different, yeah, back then.
New York in the 80s was different, man. I mean, I saw the crackheads. I didn't know what crackheads were.
Yeah.
I just saw a lot of people hanging out, the drug shop. I didn't know what they were. Only when I came back to London, I realised what I was seeing. You know what I mean? Mm. But yeah. So we're in New York. We just landed in New York. We're in New York now. You've got Madness, yeah? And when we went to 88, that was the last, it was like the last of the trains that were bombed in graffiti. That's he had the Hell's Angels. Is it Hell's Angels? Wearing a red. What are they called? Not Hell's Angels. Guardian Angels. Guardian Angels. Yeah, this is where the red berries.
Yeah.
Now, the New York subway looks scary as hell. It looked like, when you see Beat Street, this is how it was.
Really? Warriors shit.
Yeah, Warriors. Bombed to blitz. Bombed. There was no silver trains. These were the trains. We saw the red trains.
Wow. So they were kind of...
We saw the
dusty...
We saw the red ones.
Wow.
So you know this is the last era of that, you know, that kind of subway art.
That shit you see in the 80s movies.
Yeah. Well, I saw this as a kid. Red trains, the insides were battered. They looked like scary movie, like going to get robbed nonstop.
Can you remember this?
Yeah. This is... That holiday I'll never forget because that's when I first experienced leaving the UK. I'll never forget. It was like a dream. I'm going to the land of hip hop.
Yeah.
So that was my dream, to go to New York.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the trains all bombed up. So, you know, we're there for three or four days, up and down the subways.
Yeah.
I'm seeing... Now, this is foam, man. We're in New York City. I'm seeing foam co-crushed Dukes all over the train lines.
What?
He was bombing the shit out of the subway.
What?
Let me tell you, listen. I said, yo, foam's here.
No.
Look, he's everywhere. Co-crushed Dukes. Foam was battering the NYC transit system. We knew. That's how I knew he's in New York. I mean, he was going hard, man. Hard.
Really?
No. I was going there. Well, listen. He's going hard. So, remember, there's no mobile phones in them days. There's no form of internet or contact.
We
just see his name all up and down the train lines.
What?
So, about a week into the vacation now, Yankee Stadium. Got out of the train, Yankee Stadium. Got off the train. We look across the track platform. That looks like foam. Now, how New York subway system is massive. How can God put him in the same location as us?
It works like that, though.
Yeah.
Yo.
At this particular time. So we're like, that's foam. No way. You know, from, hey, guy. You know how foam is? Hey, yeah. Guy. Foam, we're just fucking happy to see him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we linked up with foam in New York. And that's like a blessing in disguise, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think he was staying somewhere, but I think some guys from Dam, he was staying in Henry Chamfort's art gallery, but I think he had some problems with some of the other artists. I think trashed it or something. So then Henry sort of chucked everyone out. So Fromm had nowhere to stay for a few days. So it was a blessing we met him because he stayed with us a couple of days.
Damn. So it's more on him that it was a blessing.
Yeah.
Right?
And then obviously, I don't know, he was out and about by himself again, and then that's where he lost all his photos. Because there's a story, you see his photo books from way back, all the trains from way back in the days. He lost it in New York.
No way.
He fell asleep on the subway, and someone took it. Yeah, someone took it. Yeah, so he lost all his history from way back. He lost. You know what I mean? So that's where he met Fromm in New York. But imagine he's over there bombing New York. I couldn't believe it. He's bombing New York subway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. His name was Cold Crush Dukes. Everywhere, every platform. I said, Jesus Christ.
Going in ham.
I mean, and we went to New York to retire from graffiti.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was just after we'd done the Earth's Edge. So we're going to go on vacation now and start a whole new conquest, which is to do the music.
Wow.
So we actually didn't go to New York for graffiti. We went to New York for vacation.
Hold on. So, because Earth's Edge, for those that you don't know... As you don't know, which I'm sure you all do, is a seminal moment in Trellick, your basic Trellick Tower in West London. Momentous achievement. You were 14 and you were retiring from graph. So how long were you doing graph before you were 14?
So we was doing graph from 81, 82. Yeah, so it was like a 4 or 5 year spell. Like, my first year in secondary school, I met Rage and Foam. Mm. So we went to the same school.
Right.
So they were doing graffiti before me.
Okay.
Right. I got introduced it by Foam and Rage. Ah. There was another person that did graffiti with them called Brendan. But he went to Grove one day. He got robbed and he never looked back. He just switched off the graffiti. So then I replaced Brendan's, where he left off, I took over.
Really?
And then I got into graffiti, you know what I mean?
Really?
And that was like late 81, early 82. Yeah, it was them times there. Just how he started school. So yeah, I had about 4 or 5 years I was doing graph for. Then we retired because after that I was Edge. We battered everyone. The only person people wanted was Angels, but they were in France.
Yeah.
So, and they were like, them time they're just doing art galleries. Like they wasn't even really street artists.
Right,
you know what I mean? So there's no more competition. So we lost enthusiasm. It's turned our energy into the music.
Keep all the comments coming below, won't you? But so
put your comments. We battered everyone. Battered.
This era you talk of, I mean, Rich, Rage and Foam. These synonymous names that you know extends their extracurricular from graffiti and actually all the things that go on outside that almost breed a certain lifestyle that I don't think for what the 80s was couldn't be replicated, really.
Man, listen, for those, they need to listen, man. They need to make, if there's any filmmakers out there, if you can go back and make a movie about the 80s in the UK. I mean, the 80s in America was phenomenal. I was happy. The stuff I saw in New York, I was just blessed. I mean, I saw Tyson with his busted plaster car when he broke up the brain in the car park. I mean, I'm 14 in Studio 54. Whoa. Studio, club, Studio 54.
That's the spot.
Where all the hookers are, all the chicks. And that's where I first realised, shit, man, I love the Latino chicks.
Really?
That's when my love comes in. Listen, I never look back. From that New York, I knew I liked Latino chicks.
Really?
Yeah, I'm only a kid. Remember, Studio 54. I'm only a kid. Remember, how you getting there? Them days, we just said we're from the UK. Just let us straight in. And there was, I saw, when you see like people talk about history, about chain snatching, I saw that live in the club.
Really?
Chain snatching, it was every 5 minutes, man.
Yeah.
There were people getting the chains, big rope chains ripped. I mean, you saw bouncers that were like built like, I ain't seen bouncers in my life the way these dudes were. These were houses, man. When they walked through the club, they parked the ravers like the Red Sea.
They
parked the rave, walked through. I see everyone getting robbed, the chains getting robbed, big fucking rope chains getting robbed in the club. I mean, it was like, I saw about 7 robberies a night.
Really?
In the club.
That's mad.
It was like chaos. I mean, I saw the raggedness of New York. And I mean, I saw a documentary, and I saw Method Man, and he was talking about the days of 42nd Street. And when he said the days of 42nd Street, flashbacks came back. He goes, have you ever been to a movie cinema in 42nd Street? You walk into the cinema, the floor is like...
That was a district which was all about theatres and cinemas.
It was red light district. There was all hookers and holes.
All of that.
I saw Kojak cars, pimps outside. Yeah. I saw the whole image.
Yeah.
But the cinema.
Yeah.
I've never been to a cinema experience in my life. Yeah. Like this. You walk in the cinema, it's 24 hours, remember, yeah? So all the crackheads and drug dealers were serving drugs in the cinema, smoking drugs in the cinema, doing whatever in the cinema. It was getting done there. There was no rules. The cinema, the floor was squidgy. You're walking over cockroaches.
Oh, shit.
They were throwing Coca-Cola. I was watching Freddy in on the screen.
What?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
No way.
Freddy Krueger.
From one nightmare to another.
Yeah, watching it, yeah. And the New York cats were flashing drinks at the cinema screen. Coca-Cola's dropping down the screen. It was, let's say, chaotic in the cinema, man.
That would unhinge me, man.
I'm with the older lot. Yeah. I'm like, this is a different world here, man.
Yeah.
Different world. I mean, they're flying drinks at the cinema screen. When Freddy come out, they're all going, when he got beat up, they're getting mad. I mean, it was I saw... When I see people talk about New York, I saw it for firsthand as a kid. So, you know, and the youth, I mean, the 80s, you'll never... And even here, the 80s in London was a different ball game, man.
Yeah.
Different. I remember the Met Line, they used to have a graffiti squad. And we'd be all hanging in Grove. There's like a... When you go over the walkway bridge, and you know, I don't know if where they got a skate park there now, where you're skating.
Right. Yeah.
So all the writers would hang around there. You had Demo, Hate, had Foam, Rio, Gunja. Every writer from that era would go to that spot and we'd all hang up. It's like a meeting ground. You go there, meet up, and you know, you go.
It was derelict, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a derelict. It's like a derelict. You go there, and you don't know who you're going to see there. You're going to see some graffiti writers meet up. So we'd be there, and they're chilling on a regular basis. You'll see trains go by, and the feds photograph and flashes.
Really?
Yeah, flashing nonstop. It was crazy, man. It was a different ball game. You see the feds were on the trains, flashing, taking photographs nonstop.
Wow.
Yeah. Nonstop.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, they're the Dread Graffiti Squad. Come on, we're battering that line hard, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're battering it. Foam battered. Listen, I got to say, listen. For those who don't know Foam, you go out of Foam, prepare to run. there's no diplomacy in what he does. It's just, I'm doing it. Yeah,
really.
Yeah. If you go wrecking,
brazen.
Like if we go wrecking, we go to a store in Holloway Road. I have a certain way of wrecking. I want to be wrecking it with discreet, but I can walk out calmly.
Yeah.
Not Foam.
Really?
You go in the store for, hey, guy. Wreck now, guy. That's how he talks. Hey, guy. He means just take the cans, don't give a fuck. Put the cans in your bag and run. This is his style. So when you go in Foam, it's like, oh, shit, might get nicked today. That was the... He's back in the day, he's funny as fuck, man.
How often do you... I mean, I'm pretty
sure... I was Foam every day. Like, when Foam was in my school, we rode every day.
What's about you? How many times a week did you get nicked?
No, I didn't get nicked. We got away. We're running. Wow. I mean, fortunately, yeah. Not people did get nicked going out racking with Foam.
Yeah.
But he was like a bogarter. He didn't have no tact. He just rack and go. And I remember he'd say, hey, guy, now. And he's racking, so now you got to do it anyway. Because you're going to get... Because if you don't get nothing, you're going to get nicked for getting nothing.
Yeah.
So, going to the Foam was mad jokes, man. Going to the Foam. Even bombing the trains. Like, the trains would be rammed, rush hour. This is how cheeky he was. You'd be in a Metropolitan line. Ram jam like a sardine can in a Metropolitan line. You're just a day-to-day worker, a citizen on the train going home.
Yeah.
He would say, excuse me, please. Move you out of the way.
Really?
Pull his pen out. Foam. People on the train say, oh, you're Foam.
Really?
Yeah.
Notoriety. But weren't there any superheroes that I'd start to say?
Oh, he Foam was battered him. Like, hey, Foam was... Listen, you got to be prepared to run.
Really?
Like, I like things doing things and getting away with it. He's doing things you have to run.
So fights will break out?
Yeah, man. All Foam, man. Hey, enough time, Foam.
Because this is all folklore, by the way.
The story you hear about Foam, yeah, that's...
It's the truth.
I know me and Foam go way back. And he was like, he didn't give a damn, man.
Yeah.
He just said, no tactics, just raggle.
Tell me the craziest thing that's happened in the company of Rage and Foam and yourself. Well, tell me, and it may not necessarily be you three that instigated it or something happened, but what's the craziest thing that you could say, wow, that was neither life nor death, or it was a moment of wow?
Well, we just had times where we have to run. I remember it was CJ Graphics in Victoria.
Mm.
So when they was wrecking. So we used to have like rap days and because there's so right. So we have certain days where the graffiti artists would meet up. And it's not really racking day, it's like Bogart day. Because if there's 8 or 9 of us walking to the store, there's no discreet, is there? There's no one's being discreet.
No.
We're taking and going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started off somewhere, started at Edge of Road. And God bless Cat. He's the writer called Cat.
Yeah, yeah.
So first we started at Edge of Road, went to the DIY store, and they used to have the Hammerettes. We all went in the store, did the Bogart thing. Cat got caught. He was the last one at the store.
Uh-huh.
He got caught. Because remember, it's like luck or draw. You're going to, you know what I mean? You're going to get away.
Yeah, yeah.
So he got caught early in the day. So now the day's continuing. Now we're in CJ Graphics. And I remember, I never forget, this is Victoria. We're all in there now. And Foam just did the mad thing. Hey, guy, now. Or something like, we started taking the cans. This is Bunlex. All taking the bunts, all me, Hate. I know Hate was there, Rage, me, I think Insane was there. I can't, because there's a lot of us, there's a lot of us there.
Mm.
I just remember the store man wasn't having it. You know what I mean? And it all went chaotic in the store, and it all, you know, everything's falling down. Oh. We had to run, everyone in the cans had to run in Victoria. I don't know who got caught that day, but some, you know what I mean, a few people got caught that day. And that's because the Foam's doing the mad thing, just not waiting. You know what I mean? Foam was a. He was a character, boy. Yeah. Definitely, like, there's no discreet with Foam. Just prepare to do it rego. There's no discretion. He is as raw as it comes.
Yeah. It's funny how, well, I say funny, it's kind of by default when you're doing something of a criminal nature. All bets are off, innit? It's like, well, to whatever. And some people just have more aggression, something in them that just like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah, he's like, there's no discreet, it's just regular. Yeah. Like, even when we're going bombing, you're thinking, I don't really want to go bombing with a phone. He's bombing in a full carriage.
Yeah.
We don't know who's in the carriage, it could be undercover feds. That's it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he was crazy. Yeah, he was definitely a character in the graffiti scene. And the rumours there, how he was, that's how he was, you know what I mean?
Really?
I mean, obviously, I grew up with him, so there's how he was other people wasn't that way with me.
Yeah, I mean,
but to the people who didn't know him, yeah. I remember graffiti guys coming down to the Hall of Fame, you know, the brothers robbing the people for the cameras and stuff.
Yeah. That was a real thing, wasn't it?
You came to the Hall of Fame from an outsider.
Yeah.
You had the thieves waiting there, man.
Yeah.
There was neighbourhood crooks that just, all they done is rob people in the Hall of Fame.
Right. So who are the biggest gangs that would... let's think pit times where there's one way in, one way out.
Yeah. The guy called Tipper and Bells.
Really?
People know their name.
Really?
From Grove, back in the day. They used to love the graffiti artists. They'd wait, sit outside the Hall of Fame, wait for people to go in the Hall of Fame, and say, one way in, one way out.
What's the honey trap?
They shut the gate in there, boom. Take the camera.
Really?
Yeah.
Take everything.
They got enough people's gone down to the Hall of Fame and got robbed.
Really?
Yeah, enough.
Gatekeeping almost, like, you know, you've got to be of a certain standard from a certain area with a certain...
Yeah, they because they're from Grove, that's their area.
Yeah.
So they looked at it as like, and even from the outsiders, even people that think of freedom,
yeah.
If they want to turn on you that day, they will.
Yeah.
They were the neighbourhood robbers.
Yeah.
They were like, it's like, oh, Omar's coming, that's them, man, boy.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't care about graph. They were just like...
Yeah, cameras, trainers, where you got... You know what I mean, what's in your bag? It's gone.
But you never had a problem because you.
No, from the end zone. I said my first introduction to going to Labatt Grove. I told you there was four of us. Yeah, one guy called Brendan. Now, we went to Grove. It's my first time going to Grove, there was a Futura piece that Futura had done. Mm. It was there for a while, so we went to the back of that to look at that, and in that. Where people know about the Futura piece, there's like a little, it's like you go in and you're kind of, you're stuck, you can't get out.
Yeah?
Okay. So we'd go in there and all the Grove boys would be outside.
Right.
Yeah. So obviously I know the faces, but I stood my ground. So I just get quiet. But my friend Brendan ran, so they chased him. He never did graffiti again.
Really?
And he would have been a bad boy graffiti artist. I remember at that stage there, I was the shitters. I just started graffiti. They remember doing it before me. He was bad, but he stopped doing graffiti from that day. So shout out to Brendan, Brendan Roach. I think his name is Brendan Green.
There you go, Brendan.
Yeah. See, the original NGA, Nasty Graffiti Artist. That was our crew name.
Yo, that's amazing. More intel than this podcast deserves. The man, you imagine all the kind of writers that probably didn't even do a season for those sorts of reasons.
That's crazy, man. I mean, Grove was wicked, man. Grove back in the days was good. I remember Futura was there. He put his landmark. He had Enigma, was his one up. He's a bad boy graffiti artist.
Scam.
So I met Casby later on. Casby, you had Chase. Yeah. Chase is one of the original.
There you go.
For those who don't know, Chase.
Bad man Chase. Come on.
He's still looking well. I see him. He's looking well still.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's trying to corner.
Yeah, he's looking well.
Ortega Sports.
I said, you know, I remember you.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. He said, I remember you as a kid, looking, seeing you doing your.
Skateboard and all everything.
Yeah, he's still looking well. Yeah, Chase. Yeah. That's a good times, man. Yeah, all in this. Remember Chase, Scam, Chase. One up was Enigma. These are the guys I saw all the time. I obviously got Non-Stop and all, but guys from Grove.
Mm-hmm.
They were like the Grove artists that I really recognised. I saw because they had early pieces. Mm-hmm. They had pieces like a year before I even went to Grove. Like, mm-hmm. I said, how long has that been there? I mean, and I always remember, when I think of Grove, I think of Carplan. Carplan! You know what I mean? Yeah, but definitely good times there, man. Winter time, we didn't really sort of go. It's the summertime when it's like, it was really like nice there, man. It had Rush, RIP Rush.
Yeah,
Rush was a bandolero. He robbed all the graffiti artists.
Really?
Let me give you a story about Rush. Yo, RIP Rush. I'm going to give you the story, right? This is how Rush was. So one day we're all going to. He was a bully, so he'd bully at home, he'd bully up all of us.
Really?
Yeah, he's a bully, he's a couple of kidnappers put in his house. Like, he's a bully. He was like, you know that guy in Juice, Tupac?
Yeah.
He was like him.
Really?
Oh, shit, there's Rush. Yeah, he's always causing trouble. He's a big bully. I mean, he's not much bigger than us. We're youths. I mean, we're like 11, 12. He's a teenager, 15, 16.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he'd be bullying us regular. I mean, so I go RIP Rush. We're all in Gloucester Yard. And I'm fucking pissed. Mm. So I remember I had a Krylon hand, that my nan got me from the Port Vella Market. Got me a Krylon paint. Right. And I thought, I had it for a year. I had it for about 6 months. And I'm never going to use this. And I'm obviously going to the yard now. I got told Krylon don't come off. So we're in the yard, bombing it up. Rush is crushing out R-I-C-H and putting new S-C-H. Well, I'm in the yard, but I can't do nothing about it. I'm doing my R. He's putting his name beside my name. This is how Rush was. Fucking bully. Oh,
wow.
It was me, Phone, Time, Insane. I think Hate was there.
Yeah.
A few other people. So now I'll give you a fast forward now. We did it. Them time, Buntlax was the... Rolls Royce, it was the Bentley of paint. So to get, and we used to see like Chrome Major paint. We see, man, I'm lucky they got them crisp colours, man. Yeah. We had Car Plan, Dupli-Colour.
Yeah. The more runny.
Yeah, we had the Car Plan and Dupli-Colour was the main paints, you know what I mean? Before Hammerite and all that coming up. So we burgled CJ Graphics. 3 weekends in a row.
Brutal.
In a row.
Whoa.
Every weekend. I remember the first time we went.
They might as well kept the thing unlocked by the time.
Yeah, because they had some guy. One of the guys had the inside information, but there's no alarm. And there was a nightclub downstairs, which we know is called Samantha's nightclub. And I remember we went upstairs. And I remember he goes, we have to. Now there's two buildings with the alley in the middle. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We have to basically climb over or put your foot over the window over the alleyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't fall down to the alley. Getting into CJ Graphics. And I remember as a kid, I never forget this. Like, you know, if you do a burglary, you know, when we're getting into the store, dark in the store, we had a little torchlight, and it's looking at the bunts like it's gold.
Yeah.
Like it's gold, like the bunt is gold. let me give some jokes. Imagine how we robbed this thing. We're in there. All of us has taken every bunt. Like, we cleaned it. We cleaned it. We emptied every bunt. We had about 4 or 5 CJ big graphic bags for bunts each. Now imagine this. We robbed the store. It's about midnight. About 2 a.m. About 2 a.m. we robbed the store. Put all the bunt legs in the bags. Walked all the bags into like a little green park that's local to the to CJ Graphics. One of the, you know, a little park where people sit.
Yeah.
We've gone back there 6 in the morning. Yeah. Right. Rego. All picked all the CJ graphic bags on the bus. All of us with like 4 bags each on the bus going to my house. Yeah, we store the paint. I remember we put the paint on top of the roof. The whole roof was covered like a carpet of bunlack.
Wow.
And we did this 3 weekends in a row. So now no one had bunts them days.
Yeah.
Only like Chrome Angel. Only Chrome Angel had bunts. Like, or people who did commissions. Common graffiti artists didn't have bunts.
No.
So I stored all my bunts in my lockup. Yeah? I don't know who told Rush where my lockup was.
What?
Yeah. My lockup, all my bunts were taken. Next minute, you're seeing Rush throw ups in cobalt blue, fluorescent orange, you know, all the bunt colours, rose pink.
Fuming.
What can I say?
Yeah.
He stole all my bunts. He got in Rush everywhere. Like, I was fuming all my... 3 weeks of robbing fucking buntlack.
And he jacked it all.
Yeah. Because I was... In them times there, graffiti times, I was always... No, remember, I'm one of the writers that never outlined in black.
Yeah.
If you look at my pieces, I never outlined in black. Only rare. I think I did one at Earth's Edge. Outlined the top piece.
Yeah.
But I never outlined in black. Never. I was always one of the guys... I used to outline it bunlack. And no one could outline the bunlack because it come out too fast, but I could control it.
Yeah.
So all my pieces were outlined in bunlack.
Wow.
Like I had so much
bunlack. See, there's some intel for
you. Yeah. If you look at the Earth's Edge, my piece down below, you'll see I'm the first guy to do 2 different colour outlines on the same piece. Wow. And the only reason that happened, the bunlack ran out.
No. It's classic.
if you look at the Earth's Edge, look at the bottom piece, you'll see there's 2 tones, there's 2 colours. The red but like, I think it's a burgundy. It ran out, and I had to use another one. So I had, it's two different colour outlines on the piece down below.
Crazy.
So you look at it next time. I'm the first guy to do that.
That thing's been in movies and everything.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So yeah, so. And I was just saying, I should do throw ups and bun. I had tons of bun leg and took all my buns, man. So that's the kind of person he was. He was a bully. He was a neighborhood bully. Mm-hmm. Until he got, he didn't bully up. I remember Bunny Subway. The man put me in his place. So he only bullied us like, with the youth. Me, Rage.
Right.
You know what I mean, yeah. I remember Fume. Is it Fume? Feud.
Feud. Yeah.
I remember Foam tagged Feud's door.
What?
I remember Feud. Yeah. I'm a Foam tagged Feud's door. A street door.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some kind of booth going on, so Foam actually tagged the door.
I've never heard anything.
Yeah, so that's how, you know, funny, man. So yeah, Foam was a mini Rush.
Why did you, what, because you know, you're very much in the mix again, but why did you stop Graf?
Because there was no competition. That was it. Uh-huh. We got bored. And after doing that piece there was no, to that battle piece put us, that gave us a kick in the arse. I said, yeah. No, what we're going to do, we're going to pull out the burners in this one. We're going to go all out. Because we was training in LA Carpets for about that summer, piece non-stop in LA Carpets.
Yeah.
And then when we did the Edge, that was like a fuel injection to do the best.
Yeah.
And after that, there was no more, there's nothing to give us that kick. I mean, I would have loved to do that wall again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so there was no one to give us the push to do it again. Because if you noticed, we stopped, if you noticed, it stops. We goes on to the right, and there's a I think it's a tank.
Yeah.
When I do the Kingdom piece, yeah.
All right.
We should be finish the background because we already know we battered them.
Yeah.
We heard they come down, so there's no. They've already like
They've already seen.
Yeah, yeah. So no, there's no competition. So once we heard we already won, we didn't even go back and finish what we started.
Really.
So we didn't finish. We didn't finish the Earth's Edge because the fusion was gone because we already know we won. So you understand? So it was really, it took us out of it. We had no energy to go again, to do it again. We had no energy to finish the piece. Once we know we beat them, and they came down, we saw the Brez tags on the floor, and we heard they saw it, and said, yeah, it's the man. Some Brez from South, I think it was Siege or something like that, because it's supposed to be quiet. No one's supposed to know about the wall. And I think Kane G'd up, told Siege, come look at the wall. Kane kind of baited it up. He told Siege, come look at the wall. Siege saw it. And then we put it back to base in this, and mate, it's a no go, bro. You know what I mean? And then after that, we just said, put the cans down, threw my cans away, and that's it.
It's mad. I mean, your creative output is. I mean, talk about being ahead of the curve with the whole Black Ops and that sublo genre.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't even a was
no,
it?
No, no, no. And I tell you that come around because after the Earth's Edge, we go into hip hop. We was doing hip hop times, all the hip hop kind of thing. It's like early 90s. I was in a rap group called Construction, with me, Rage, and State of Art. But in the rap era then, there was only one guy controlling. And I remember we sit down and talk about this. It's one guy that's controlling the whole UK rap industry, Tim Westwood.
That's it.
I said, this punk, you know, it's Brez. We're making tunes for him to play it once on the radio.
Yeah.
So this Brez, he's not doing nothing for the UK. Just pounding Americans away, he might get one little play, but he don't do nothing for the UK. Nothing. Yeah. He didn't do nothing for the UK. So me seeing this through my early hip hop career, I said, no, F this, man. I'm not making him a music for one DJ.
Yeah.
To play he controls the whole scene. He's the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is like late 90s now. I started going to garage raves. I said, wow, because at them time, all hip hop raves, all hard b-boys, there's no chicks in the dance, it's pure man with hoodies on. No girls, and I mean, went to a garage rave in the late 90s, I'm playing pure chicks. So this is where all the girls are going. All right, cool, going to the garage thing. I thought, this music's soft, man. Music's soft. I'm a hard ultimate name,
man. By comparison.
I'm a hard hip-hop man.
Yeah.
So this music was too soft for me. But then I heard one tune in the dance. I think it's Life is What You Make It. That's what it was, yeah. I'm in the tune. At them time, my friend gave me an E. I never took drugs in my life, never smoked, no, didn't even drink. Uh-huh. He gave me an E. The tune sounded too dirty in the dance. Beeline. If you're a music head, go look for the record, Life is What You Make It.
All right, there you go. There's some intel, there's some homework.
Man, the tune is off the chain. It's a fucking classic. It's LB and my cousin's group, Chronicles, which I didn't even know until recently.
Really?
Yeah.
More serendipity going on here.
Yeah, so that tune, so I thought, when I heard that tune, I thought, am I confused? That what I'm getting from this song, if I can fuse that with my hip-hop beats, then I'm going to create my own genre, sublo. So I get the rave bass line with the hip-hop beats. That's how sublo come. Now, when I was making sublo, I remember coming to the idea when I was in Florida. I was going to America a lot. I was always traveling as a kid. Since 88, I was traveling to New York.
Yeah.
Non-stop. And I stopped going to New York, started going to Florida. So I went to Florida now. I said, this is a whole different culture here. Like, it's different music.
Yeah.
It was like Miami bass, but it was, this is like,
whole
is,
different
this
America.
This is like before you knew about, before the man that knew about Master P.
This is years
before.
This is the thing.
Yeah, I
remember. They have moved differently
So before even Master P was even known in New York, I'm going to Florida. I knew about this dude. Yeah, I said, this hip-hop is different. They didn't play in New York, didn't play in England, didn't play nowhere, only in the South. So I'm going South, I'm actually listening to this music, so I'm thinking, oh, shit, I like this shit. It's the hip-hop, it's a different hip-hop, so I fused that Master P stuff with the garage bass line. And I said to my, I was on holiday with Son of Noise. I said to him, I'm going to make my own sound. He always says it, man, you owe me 50%, because I said, we're going to do it together. I said, I'm going to create my own sound, sublo. So I'm going to use the Garage Network, because I respected the Garage Network because they didn't rely on one DJ.
They had their own DJs.
Yeah. There wasn't no one DJ.
They just moved differently.
They had their own network. It was UK. They wasn't relying on Tim Westwood. They had their own DJs, and it was like, you know, they had it controlled, and it was like a cult. And so I thought, I'm going to use that network to push my sound. I'm not going to need Tim Westwood. I'm going to use the
Garage. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So that's how I fused. That's how Sublo was created. And when I was making that, obviously the garage heads didn't like me. They said, oh, man, you're too dark, man. It's too dark, blah, blah, blah. But I knew this is the new generation coming in.
This is
going to be the UK hip-hop.
Man
rapping on it, blah, blah, blah. I saw the vision.
So when did Black Ops, when did that establish itself? Let's get a date on that.
Right. So early 99, 98, I had the idea.
Yeah.
99, So 99, I put the first record out.
Yeah.
The first, let me say this now. Forget about what you hear before, blah, blah, blah. The first ever grime record with all the elements of grime, dirty bassline, a rave bassline, rave energy, and not MCing, rapping. Because man, them times, all the garage MCs were MCing.
Yeah.
They were 8-bar hooks.
Yeah.
I was rapping.
You were rapping?
Yeah. We go and get a tune.
Go on, yeah.
Right? Rapping on these rhythms. No one knew what the hell it was.
As released.
Because it is. And what it was, because I was in Florida, the Master P thing, that's where I fused it.
Yeah, got you.
So people couldn't even understand because they never heard of Master P.
Yeah.
So I knew I'm fusing that with the garage and getting my own genre.
Yeah.
Sublo, you know what I mean? Which had all the three elements, dirty beats, rapping, and rave. That makes it grime music, you know what I mean? Because people say, what is grime? Grime ain't about a tune. Grime ain't just about a beat. It's the whole elements. We didn't call it grime. The media called it, yeah?
And I
was the first guy to come with a genre. This is not garage. This is this.
Did you have people hitting you up?
Man, I had people hating me, man, not letting me through the gate.
No, but what about... I'm talking like people that... Notable people that would hit you up, say, yo, you got any beats?
Yeah, so it happened. Yeah, so when I put Drop Top Bimmer out, I remember... when I heard Eazy bust it on the radio, I knew. I said, yeah. Eazy was the gatekeeper of the garage circuit. Even he played it.
Yeah, big up Eazy.
Right, so big up Eazy, yeah.
Legend.
Wesley J's a bust it in Coliseum, regular. I did him a dub plate. He's busting it regular in Coliseum. You hear the late Charlie Brown. I got him in the CD saying, this is a new type of sound. What sound is this?
Whoa.
I got that. He's like the top garage MC at the time. He's saying, whatever this is new. So I got that. This is all documented. And I was the first guy. People can go and say whatever. No, go back to your timeline. No one distinctively made their music and put it in a different category. I said, this is not garage. This is sublo. I have a little pamphlet. Some of the old school records, there's a pamphlet in some of the releases explaining what sublo is.
Really?
I'll show you. I've got one at home.
Okay.
And you're reading it and you're like, this guy's thinking way out of the box.
Yeah.
So I was the first guy to say, this ain't garage. This is sublo. And I knew this is where all the bedroom DJs, all the bedroom DJs are not going to be the bedroom DJs forever.
Yeah.
They're going to be the next generation.
Yeah.
So I knew, feed them.
Yeah.
And I knew, I'm from the hip-hop era. The young kids are in the hip-hop.
Yeah.
So I knew they're going to be loving what I'm doing.
Did you have a, because to call a genre sublo, obviously later grime, obviously, grime became more of a commercial, word, yeah, yeah, it's a commercial yeah, thing. Yeah. So yeah. You, wherever that came from, but I saw this interview with Pharrell about the Neptune sound, and one of the things that Teddy Riley created New Jack Swing said yeah. to him was like, "You should have called it a right. name.
A name. And it's there forever. Ever. Which I did.
Yeah.
Because you created your star, means you're there, you're in the history books forever. Mm. Ever. Mm. I said, it's a sub-low sound. It's not a beat, it's a sound.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. So I knew. Remember, I'm a hip-hop man, so I was well intelligent about music.
Mm.
So these guys first coming to the Gary scene, probably the first time around in the music industry, I was already in the hip-hop industry, so I already knew, right, you've got to be different.
Yeah. And the cycles and how it moves over the generations and years.
And I knew, why did I like certain hip-hop artists? Because they were different.
Mm.
Like I was a big fan of Ultimate Neck.
Mm.
I liked their stuff. So I said, when I do mine, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I created, that's why I said I'm going to create it from day one. I'm not going to come in and be blending to their music. So I'm doing something different.
Uh-huh.
I was stating that from day one, from the get-go. Mm. This is sub-low. Mm. This is a whole different thing. And look what it turned into. So I'm the bridge.
Yeah.
To what became...
I believe
I see all them Graham heads. Good luck. Big up all the Graham guys. But they always get the history wrong. 2002. Bull BS, man. Well, you know your history. None of them man there can talk to me about Graham. Who's the first? I'm the first mother ever did that shit. I'm doing shoes like hoes don't mean shit. They even know about hoes.
Well, you went to America.
Yeah, so I was... So
that was that influence
I'm fusing,
of hip-hop.
Yeah, so I'm fusing the hip-hop. You hear... All my Dropped Up Rhythm Kid,
mm.
all my raps, and if you listen to that record, Dropped Up Rhythm Kid, listen to the bars. There's no joke bars. There's no jokes in them
and
bars.
When did that come out?
That's 99.
Right, it's okay. So you can go back, it's all online.
Yeah, you can go online, yeah. There was Dark Garage and stuff, but I was no one doing rapping. The what they call Graham now with the elements.
Mm.
I knew this is something different. I mean, and that's on record. I mean, I had the tune way before then, but this is on record. And then the first Black Ops label tune, where the label was launched, first release. You're a record collector, look for the first Black Ops. Obviously, Dropped Up MK, all about cash is white label. The first Black Ops release was Hoes Don't Mean Shit. How can I, from the garage circuit, I'll give you a story. I went to the record store, released The Groove, right? This is how I've always been like outrageous and raggo, yeah? I didn't give a shit about rules. Imagine going to the garage store, giving a woman who's in the store, she looked at my label, Hoes Don't Mean Shit. She looked at me like, I said, I'll take it back.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, you can't put this in here. I said, well, hoes don't mean shit to me. Why not? And I said, well, you know what? You're going to be calling me later on to put it back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the manager called me, yeah, bring the cash stream back. By then, remember, I had two white labels that were already flying out.
And it's popping, yeah.
Yeah, so the woman's like, you can't have this record here, hoes don't mean shit. I was doing way against the grind, against the, what you call it, what was going on in that scene in the temperature. I was doing something against everything. I was going against the establishment. I'm saying stuff that you can't say. I was MCing stuff you couldn't MC, couldn't say. I'm the first street guy to talk about the street stuff. Go back, they know, man. You know what I mean? No one was doing what I'm doing because I was in the game, doing the game, being the game, living the game.
Do you think some of it is that there's kind of polar kind of lanes that were, you know, because East, you know, with Bo and the grime generation that came through.
They came through Slimzy, right? Slimzy, big up Slimzy the Godfather now.
Mm.
None of them artists would ever be big without Slimzy. Slimzy was the first iTunes and Spotify of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he was the Spotify, he was the iTunes of that era. Wherever he played, whoever MC'd on his set, his platform became big.
Wow.
So he was original Spotify and iTunes of that time.
Yeah.
iTunes are way before Slimzy come on the scene. I mean, right? They were doing Jungle and all that. Is that. So he introduced all the Graham MCs from East.
Yeah.
That's why they all blew up.
Right.
So he, without him, none, a lot of these MCs wouldn't be born.
And you and him are boys.
I met Slimzy later on in a music house.
Yeah.
But all them MCs, they didn't even show him. It's funny, them brothers don't even show him much love now. And he gave birth to all them guys.
Yeah.
He gave birth to all them big MCs you see out there on his platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's sad to see sometimes. Even like, you know, how he built up Rinse, he don't get the respect that he gets. You know what I mean? Without him, Rinse wouldn't even run in the way it was. You know what I mean? But yeah, big up Slimzy.
It's funny, people... And I don't know really who's mainly at fault. I just feel like there's some people that are just ahead of the curve. And sometimes they can be in it through the whole duration. But they just become... it sounds crass to say, but, you know, part of the community, part of the furniture. They become part of the... Yeah. And it's... It's a bit like Skrillex, you know what I mean? Like suddenly coming in with something way out.
If you get the people backing you, you get the big the big corporation backing you from behind, they get the light. You know how the music game is now. You've got people backing you, you're going to be in the forefront. And I mean, like, I always tell people, grime. I said, listen, go back to the heyday of grime, which is 2003, 2004. Who won all the awards? Fucking me. I won all the awards. Heard all the tunes in the dances. Fucking me. I had all the tunes. Who tunes would... Whenever you play a Black Ops song, it would smash the tune previously.
Yo, I just love the Black Ops catalogue, bro.
When you hear Black Ops tune to dance, you know, you know what Black Ops means. That's it. It's taking out the next tune that is coming after. So I won all the awards. Did a producers clash record? It's like an all star producers.
Uh-huh.
Who had the biggest tune there? Me. But I never ever brag about all that stuff. I won all the awards. UMA Awards, and I don't know that. Before post, before internet, I won all the awards.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Before pre-internet. So, like you say, you're not one to, like, overly confidently brag about it unless the facts were there. At a time of no internet, there's nothing...
Yeah, there's nothing. Tape packs. So this is how I promoted myself. This is even how I promoted myself. I'll go to all the raves.
Yeah.
They'll shout out Johnny Cash
on
the tape pack. You hear my name on the tape pack. And then next bit, I've got a tune coming out, Johnny Cash, Champagne Bubbler. That's how I pre-promote myself.
Yeah, nice.
I had a strategy for everything. Everything was strategized what I was doing.
The streets listened the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, because it was like tape packs were the SoundCloud of them times.
Tape packs were your graffiti tags.
Yeah, that's it. Tape packs were... That was the info. That was the radio station. That was tape packs was your source of knowledge of what's going on.
Golden era. I love that about drum and bass as well. Jungle this time.
You know what I mean? So that was, you know, they're a good time, man. Driving around in my car, white labels in the back of the boot. I mean, I meet so many people now and say, I remember you, man. Driving with your back. And I had that formula from the New York guys driving around with their record boots.
The Master P era.
Yeah, so I was copying them.
Yeah.
Driving around in my car full of white labels.
Yeah.
Giving the DJs, don't worry. You're going to like it later on. You might like it now, you're going to like it later on.
Really?
And they all said to me, yeah, they say, you know what, you're damn right. When I first got the record, I thought, what's this? And later on, it acclimatised to them.
Right, Johnny, your business acumen and foresight, and again, you know, some, like I said, you can almost be too early for this stuff, but your ear to the street and understanding of how kind of, maybe it's an element of common sense, just knowing how business works. Where's that come from?
Well, that came from the... common sense. But I tell you one thing where I messed up.
Go on. Sorry. That happened on the last podcast as well. Yeah, go.
One thing, when I was doing the Black Ops label, I wish I took more time with the business thing. Because I was doing music for the love of it. I wasn't doing it for the business. Mm. I was doing it for the love.
And you were on a momentum, weren't you?
Yeah, so I did. Yeah. I didn't take care of the business thing where I would be more established now, or I'd be much further than where I am now. But I've got legendary status or part, but I didn't take care of the business, which I should have done. My work effort is from the road. It's common sense. You do, because I was on the
Talk
road.
Talk to me about that work ethic from the road. Let's dial in on that a bit. All Give right. me what define work ethic, street work ethic.
Well, first of all, so how I started. When I say that lyric, when I started, I bought a half ounce.
Yeah.
It's true to the game. So I saw everyone smoking weed, doing whatever around me.
Yeah.
I didn't smoke weed. I got robbed one time, and he took my Technics deck. Mm. I won Technics deck. I took my Technics deck. Mm. I said, shit, man. I took my Technics. I thought, man, I've got no money now. I've got nothing. They robbed, cleaned me out of my house. So I sold my Technics deck. I went to one of my local hustlers that he was big in the game. I said, man, I ain't got a clue what to do here. I said, I bought a half ounce of weed. He bagged it up for me. Mm-hmm. I had two customers.
Really?
I had two customers. Because where I lived, I had one of them kind of flats, ABC flats. But I see all my friends going upstairs to my neighbour from a long time. Yeah. You know? It's like way prior to me even getting into the game. I'm like, why are you going up there? So one day I knocked my neighbour. I said, why are my friends come here? Oh, they give me weed. Oh, so I said, if I give you weed, you come to me? Of course I would, you're downstairs. So I bought the half ounce, my friend bagged it up. I mean, it was £50 for a half ounce. Bagged it to seven jaws. I sold it to him and the money, other two neighbours, yeah?
Yeah.
Took me a little while to get further rid of the first one. And my efforts were, I said, look, I was just determined. I have a goal and I set myself a goal. When I get to this, I'm going to quit. Or when I get to this, I'm going to do this. So I had a goal. So I had a half ounce. I kept getting rid of it, bought it. I stayed in the same grammy clothes for time. I said, I'm not going to buy no clothes. I'm going to save every penny of this fucking thing I'm doing.
Yeah.
So everyone's doing weed around me. So I'm just buying weed, selling weed. I said, no, what? I need to sell to these people.
Yeah.
I come into the market, see what's going on. So I need to be the person they're coming to.
They're buying, yeah.
I need to be the Sainsbury's for these guys.
Yeah.
That was my goal. I got the weed and I got then a friend. There's a guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he introduced me to the game Tuna Q. He was the original guy who bought. He was very. I learned of him. So one guy, he's famous. He's known in the area, but he taught me the way. Tuna Q. It was a marketing game. But give you 2 ounces, give you a quarter free.
Really?
And in them days, no one was giving nothing for free. So he taught me the game. So I did. I bought the Tuna Q. I kept flipping, and then I was serving everyone around me.
So monopolized.
So I had that same formula with music.
Yeah.
So I want to be the person you're coming to me to buy. I want to be the supplier. I mean, so it's work. You're gonna do something for a hobby. You're gonna do something for fun, or you're gonna do something to get somewhere.
Game right here.
Yeah.
This is the only podcast that you need to hear about the game. Wow, that's sick.
I mean, so they were good times, man. Them times was. Jesus, well, I'm happy to be part of them times.
get away with murder back then. But at the same time, it can be reapplied to anything.
Yeah.
Any industry, as long as you've got
a drive. You need a drive, man.
Yeah.
You have to have a purpose. Like, see, now I've got my new label launching. Yeah. I've got a drive in it. So now I'm going back to square one.
Yeah.
But that drive is going to get me to... I know where the future's going with the new music.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've got the same drive... How I had with Black Ops with my new label.
Well, we must talk about this.
I mean,
for any sort of sign off. So, Freedom is the new label.
Yeah, Freedom Music, Freedom Music Records. Yeah, is the my new label. So I'm still Black Ops is still there.
Yeah.
I got a Black Ops later on in the year. I think it's later on in the year. It's a 4 vinyl.
What?
Johnny Cash Classic.
Vinyl.
4 vinyl. Johnny Cash Classic vinyl collectors. It's got me hanging off the Earth's Edge. Got all graffiti pictures in there.
What?
It's gonna be a collectors.
What?
That's gonna be coming out. The whole type hype. Let me get a name. Who'll be doing it? Let me get a name.
That's mad.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be a classic.
Yeah, this has got to be one of those moments.
Yeah. So
like metalheads do those compilations. Yeah. This needs to be one of them.
Yeah. It's a 4 vinyl.
Yeah.
Artwork. It's got me hanging off the Earth's wall.
Sick.
All photographs from the 90s. Photographs. All different kind of. I mean. All different bits and pieces in there. Sneaker Social Club. Big up Jamie.
Like, I'm not being funny, but you know, we do, you know, there's Goldie of your era. But for your genres, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, this is, I'm making it public. You cannot say Goldie and not say Johnny Cash in the same conversation so far as pushing the envelope of genres and music, right?
Yeah, correct. No, I listen. When I was doing music, I said, I'm not copying no one. I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
And I, because I was on the roadside working, I didn't care about pressing up records. It wasn't an issue to me. I'm like, pressing up. I'm going to flood the market, man.
Yeah.
Just how you do it in the drug game, I'm going to flood the market.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to flood it. You go to a record store, you just see Black Ops.
To be honest, that was my whole deal with podcasting. Some people say, you can't keep up, or how many have you done it? It's called flooding.
You got to keep going.
It's called flood.
Momentum, you got to keep listen, you got to keep it going, man. So now, I'm doing a freedom music thing. And for those who don't know, it's still got that sublomatic sound.
Yeah.
But I'm moving to it. Because I never stopped making music. I stopped putting music out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you go on live and we see you bumping all the time.
So I'm always making music. Yeah. Music is my girl.
Yeah,
music
is
my first girl.
Yeah.
Without music, I mean, I'd be crippled, man.
What do girls say when you say that?
I've got a good girl. She lets me, my girl understands. She's sort of a joke. When you coming home? I'll be in the home. I'm in my studio. She calls my studio another house.
Mm.
So, music is my first love. So, yeah, I mean, Now I've got the drive as well. Believe me.
And a new genre, freedom.
New genre, yeah, new genre. Now, when I did the genre, what I'm doing, I didn't look at it, I'm doing something new, but people were telling me, you're doing this on amateur piano tempo, but you're not doing amateur piano, you're doing some kind of hybrid thing, your own thing.
Yeah.
Which is, because I can always make the amateur piano, I can do what's going on, but I want to meet me.
Yeah.
I want to be the individual. There's so much music coming out in the world, I got to make my music stand out.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you do listen to it, this sounds different. Anyone listens to it who's not heard it before, this sounds different. That's the first thing they say. It sounds different. So, you know, every month there's going to be a release every single month.
Every month?
Every month, yeah.
Yo, we're back on a flooding game.
I'm way ahead of my releases now. I've got so much music. And if you're a new producer out there making greasy beats, send to me, man. Send to Johnny Cash at theblackops.com.
His label. See, yeah. It's the label. So yeah. you get your bits over.
Yeah, send them over. So,
but there is a sound policy? There is a particular type of...
As long as it's good music, man. I always look at something inventive. Oh, that always gets my ear when something new.
Because
if you make something that's for today, right? So look, if you make something for today, it's only going to last for today. My Black Ops music is timeless. I was way ahead of the game. If I put a Black Ops tune from 2000, it sounds like I made it today.
Authenticity, isn't it?
Yeah. Have to be the music.
Goes a long way.
Your music will be timeless. Mm. And I will say, try and create something unique in what you're doing. Mm. So they say, oh, that's my man's beat. You can hear it. Say, that's a Johnny Cash beat. Mm. You know. So I will say to producers, try and get something unique that they can establish that's you.
Yeah. So I mean, fits in the record collection.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'm doing that. But yeah, the Black Ops is still tons of Black Ops stuff coming out. That's going to be once the Johnny Cash Classic album comes out. That's going to I've got tons of Black Ops that haven't been released.
Whoa, really?
I've made music since the era there, but not put out. Don't let public ears hear it.
Whoa.
I've got tons of music to release.
Some Prince
yeah. I mean, I've got computers full of... I'm putting out stuff for my 3D music label now that I was using my Power PC Mac.
Really? Back in the day?
Yeah.
Tell me, so when you hear something, you're like, wow, I did that like 8 years ago, but it bangs now. That must be a real surprise.
Yeah. Oh, my God, sorry. You need to do part two sometime. What was I saying?
It's just the genres and having the fact that you've got a catalogue that you haven't released
yet. So the Johnny Cash thing is going to springboard all the Black Ops stuff. And remember, it's a whole new audience that doesn't even know about me.
Yeah.
So everything in mine from the past will sound brand new to them.
Yeah.
So now, because I've never been good at marketing.
Fresh ears.
I was good at marketing before, but I've never been good at digital marketing. Mm-hmm. When it was like roadside marketing and it was like everything hands-on, I was master at that. Mm-hmm. I was going around meeting people, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We're in a digital age where you've got to be very smart. You have to have a digital know-how and how to be social aware, how to market your music.
Yeah.
It's 90% marketing, 10% product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm relaunching Black Ops after that album comes out.
Yeah.
The freedom music thing is going to be ongoing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna fuse it with my culture, the graffiti, everything together.
That's the way to do it, man. Because then it becomes, it's you personified in your creative
art. I mean, like, my plan is to get my art, when I get all done, I'm going to do the art gallery with the audio and the art.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? All mixed up, you know what I mean? Wow. Yeah, so, and I've got, hopefully this summer, I'm going to start this summer. Art in the Garden. Yeah, it's a podcast where you come down, you paint two good boards. It's not a clash, but like two artists be painting the boards, filming them. And I want to get about 10, I'll get the first 10 done before I start.
Yeah, rolling
them
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, so, I'm your guy, let me know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so
yeah, Art in the Garden. See?
Yeah. So you'll be in my board, you know, you can just do your boards, in my garden, at your own leisure, drink, laugh, film it.
Banter.
Yeah.
Freedom Records.
Yes,
Freedom. Art in the Garden. Yeah. Sublow.
Yeah.
Ops.
Black Ops. Listen, they took away my social medias last year. All of them.
Fuming.
All my social medias gone. Johnny Cash, the Black Ops. So I had to redo them again.
Yeah.
So people, please, if you obviously might put them in, you know, give them.
Yeah, I'll put them all in the link.
Freedom Music Records. It's Freedom, number 3, DOM, Music Records. And then the official Johnny Cash and the Black Ops Sublow. These are my Instagrams. I need to build them back up.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, they took me off social media. All my Facebook photographs, my family stuff that I can't get back. One day I woke up, I was took off the internet.
Fuming.
Freedom of speech is gone.
Damn.
So now I won't even say nothing no more.
Let the music do the talk.
I've got a new release out now, which is on, put out 2 weeks ago, Voices of Africa. So if you're on Apple or Spotify or any platform, type in Voices of Africa EP, Johnny Cash, Freedom Music. and you're gonna hear the kind of music I'm making. Nice. Yeah, but Voice of Africa is epic. It's like a movie, man.
Nice.
You listen to it?
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to it. That sounds great.
It's like an epic. Yeah. So
we'll put all the links in and everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So Freedom Music is the new label, the new genre, and it's. I'm Johnny Cash back. I'm non stopping, man.
Coming
hard, yeah.
See, you got A to Z right here. Whether you know Rich No Limits, whether you know Black Ops, whether you know Johnny Cash, whether you know Freedom Music, however you want it. And any guys, this man tells you right here, and it won't be the last podcast.
Killer, wild
one. Come on, son.
I mean, Johnny, bless my man, yes.
Thank you so much for passing through.
No, man, definitely. And it's just big up Statics, big up Liberty Lana, big up all the Black Ops, man, big up Too Real, big up Charmsy. Who else got a big up? Watch out for my artist, Strapper.
Okay, big up Strapper.
Watch out. Because we got album done from a long time ago. Now we had a few differences, now we're back together.
Nice.
We're going to get that project moving again as well. Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Nothing to complain about and everything to look forward to.
Yeah, man. And I've got to say, big up Son of Noise.
Yes. Big up
Adam.
Son of Noise.
Yeah, big up Jason. Big up the Colombians. Yeah. Big up the Brazilians.
Big up to you as well, my people.
Yeah, big up to you, yes.
All day.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Big up Catch and all that. Yeah, man. It's a blessing to come back part two here.
Part two, we're in.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Just go to the download Spotify and type in Voices of Africa EP. All right.
There it is.
Blessings, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rich, Johnny Cash in the building. Listen. Be safe, all right? Crime don't pay, but neither do they, all right? Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. You stay like your people. Birds!
Bless you.
Well, sick.